Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 11:09. It is the Shaletta Show, sponsored by Otto Bremer Trust. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I am the host of the show. I bring you greetings from Clemens Stadium on the campus of St. John's University. They have their homecoming football game later this afternoon. They are taking on the Concordia Cobbers. And I tell you what, it has been a minute since I have been on a college campus, and it is electric. Everyone is here. They are all dressed up. I tell you, we got here at 7:30 this morning so we could park our Camping World RV and put the slide outs and have breakfast with the kids and get ready for the show. And we saw students already dressed up, painted from head to toe, red and white. And so my kids got their red and white on. I am in the athletic building. And guess what? Guess what? I am talking to the new president of both universities, St. Benedict and St. John's University. Dr. Brian Brees is on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. You know what? I am so excited to chat with you this morning. And I have to tell you, you have a great group of people here. They have made us feel so welcomed. They came by the RV this morning. Mike Carr did. And he asked me if I needed anything. And I told him run to the liquor store because I forgot my Grey Duck Vodka at home. So I'm just waiting on him to get back. Dr. Brian.
Shaletta, this is so wonderful to have you here and your family joining us on this exciting day of homecoming, and this warm welcome that you received is a feature of both St. Ben's and St. John's. This idea of hospitality, helping people feel welcome and feel valued is a core tenet, and we're so happy to have you on campus today, helping us get a win today.
Yes, and oh my gosh, the kids are so excited about the football game. Now, this is your first homecoming because, you know, you guys have this strong integration program going. You're the new president, got here this summer. Tell me all about this transition and this strong integration because you're the president of both colleges.
Yeah, Shaletta, this is quite something. That there's nothing like it in American higher education where we want to make sure that the College of St. Benedict, St. John's University are distinctively represented in the world for who, which each institution is. But the board has asked us to pursue what we call strong integration. That is taking great advantage of more strongly integrating the two campuses with one president, one leadership, and with common boards. And this is helping us to be more adaptive and responsive. And our hope is that we're able to take exceptional outcomes, you know, number one and two in the state for securing jobs for our graduates, a fantastic four-year graduation rate, and one of the lowest loan default rates in the country. Take these great outcomes and just move them up even higher. And, you know, our focus is helping women and men flourish through college and into the rest of their life. And this strong integration program is designed to help us be more adaptive, responsive, and produce even greater outcomes.
We are talking to Dr. Brian Brees. He is the president of the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. And Dr. Brian, I just have to say my son Andrew is on a tour right now. This is his first college tour. He's in 11th grade right now. And you know, someone told me now's the time. Don't wait until they're a senior in high school visiting. You know, what's the one thing that you want to make sure when parents are looking for colleges for their students and they come to the campus and they take the tour, what's the one thing you want to make sure they take away?
Well, Shalita, I'm glad that your son Andrew has taken a tour of St. John's, St. Ben's today. I think the single most important thing for high school students when they're looking at college is to get on campus, maybe even more than once, and just imagine yourself on this campus, interacting, engaging, you know, get in a classroom, eat in the dining hall, take a really good look at the place and get a good understanding of what it's like and what it means and how are students received on campus and what's the experience like. We know that the single best predictor of success in college is not academic aptitude, although that always helps. The single best predictor of success in college is the extent to which students engage themselves in the life of the campus. Mm. And so we want students to first and foremost feel welcome and see all the ways that they can get engaged, whether that's in athletics or whether it's a club or organization or studying abroad or whatever those things are that interest them and get them excited. If a student can feel that kind of connection, we know they'll be successful.
Now, I was excited about this university because you have something that is near and dear to my heart, an entrepreneurship program, the Donald McNeely Center for Entrepreneurship. You know, I have a small business. I'm a certified African-American and woman-owned business. Shaletta Makes Me Laugh.com is my podcasting platform and production company. And, you know, I'm starting this journey at 50. Dr. Brian. And so there's a lot of things that I'm learning. I'm making mistakes along the way. I'm learning on the fly. But, and you know, I just wish that I had a program like the Donald McNeely Center for Entrepreneurship, where you all partner students, the scholars in the program, with 10 mentors. So they're learning lessons on how to own their own businesses and have their own companies in college. I'd never heard of anything like that. Talk to me about this program.
Well, the McNeely Center is just a fabulous example of the way we engage students in what we call high impact practices. And that in this case, you know, these scholars are engaged in what it means to imagine their own ideas come to life in a business. And what does it mean to shape a business? How do you build a business plan? How do you take your ideas through that process? And this is the kind of experience, this deep engagement with real life opportunities. And we know that, you know, over 60% of high school students have ideas that they imagine to be in a business someday. So how can you take that kind of entrepreneurial spirit and coach and teach them and show them, you know, how to take their ideas and bring them to fruition? So whether you're 17, 18, or 15, Shalita, you can do this. And so it's exciting to hear you adventuring down this path too. I'm also looking at one of your publications, Brandon Spots His Sign. What a cool resource that is.
Oh my gosh, I have been passing that book out like flyers today, because let me tell you, when we drove up in that Camping World RV and your team met us out there on campus and directed us over, and we parked that RV and put the slide out, I'm here to tell you, Jim Platton showed up, and you know, he loved on the kids, and then Mike Carr showed up, and so many people stopped by, and I've just been, you know, they've just been so kind to me. I'm like, wait a minute, I got some books or something in here. You know, I just want to, you know, reciprocate the love and the hospitality that we receive. Now you got to tell me, am I getting the VIP treatment, or is that how you treat everybody?
Oh, that's the Benedictine spirit of hospitality just naturally playing itself out. And it sounds like your RV might be the party central. I'm going to have to find that RV and show up here pregame.
That sounds like fun. Now, listen, I don't want you to go anywhere. I got to take a quick break. But when we come back, can you talk to me about the alumni referral scholarship? Because when everybody found out I was going to be broadcasting my show live from the university for homecoming. I got so many dings and pings and DMs from alumni talking about how amazing the campus is. And again, we were coming to bring Andrew at the behest of Jim Platton and so many others who have graduated from this institution. And I want to talk about that program and why there's a spirit of pride. No matter how long ago folks have graduated from this university, they still have a connection and a love to it. We're going to continue our conversation with Dr. Brian Brees when we come back. Oh, yeah. I've never seen anything like it, okay? I am a graduate from University of Houston School of Communication. Great campus. I love it. Have been back to my Sean's alma mater, Florida A&M University in Tallahassee, as well as Meharry Medical College in Nashville. But the alumni support here at St. John's, where I'm broadcasting this show live today. It's their homecoming. They take on the Concordia Cobbers this afternoon. My son Andrew is on a tour. The alumni support here at this university, I haven't experienced anything like it. And I've got to ask Dr. Brian Brees about it. He is the new president of the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University. You've been here since the summer. The alumni support, was it surprising for you? Because for me, it's overwhelming. I was like, I got to go back and do more for my school. Just coming here to St. John's and seeing what the alumni here are doing.
Shaletta, it's really quite amazing. The College of St. Benedict and St. John's University have this legendary, we call it Benny Johnny network. And I've never seen anything like it either. I've been in higher ed for 30 years, but there's such a high degree of affinity, such deep appreciation for the experience that our graduates have had, that they just really enjoy giving back and participating. We have the highest participation in terms of fan attendance at football games. I expect over 13, 14,000 fans in the stadium today, and that's pretty remarkable for a Division III athletic program. But what's really driving this is, for both campuses, St. Ben's and St. John's, just a deep, deep love of the place. And so we see them engaged in all sorts of ways, helping students with internships, mentoring, coaching them along the way, coming back to campus and reliving some of those glory days when they were students. And you mentioned earlier the alum referral program. We have such a strong network of graduates that help us recruit students that we recognize that great tradition. Every referral that comes through an alum, the student receives $1,000 per year. So it's a $4,000 referral scholarship that we offer any student, incoming student who receives a referral for an alum. And that's just one way that our graduates really give back and participate and help, you know, carry on the legendary reputation of Benny's and Johnny's, giving back to the two institutions they love so much.
And I just have to tell you, Jim Platton, one of my ex-husband's best buddies, in 2014, mm-hmm. he got that Distinguished Alumnus Award, the highest honor for the Alumni Association that they give out to anybody. And, you know, when I first met him, I was just like, wow, he is just always up on this campus. Does he not have a job? Okay, he does have a job. This is awesome. It was just like, I couldn't figure out. I thought he worked here. Like, this was his full-time job. Like, he was always here. And then I realized that it's just a love of the campus, a love of the community. He is mentoring these kids. He like knows all the terminology and knows how to speak the language. He was talking to my son Andrew before he went on a tour this morning, and I was like, I have no idea what they're saying, but he's speaking the language. They could be plotting to kill me over here. I wouldn't know. But he has such a connection with these young people, and they so trust him. And that's kind of, you know, just the feeling I get from, you know, the graduates that are back here, especially today for homecoming, that, you know, they just have such good hearts for these young people.
Yeah, they do. And Jim's a great example of it. Not only do they love the institution, but they see, like I do, in these young students, high school students, you know, choosing colleges, and of course the students at St. Ben's and St. John's, they give us such hope. You know, when you're around young people that are exploring their future and imagining what it means and to be a principled leader in society, making a difference for the common good, recognizing the dignity of each human person, that kind of activity, that kind of experience that St. Ben's and St. John's offers is just, it's captivating. And I think what you see is just a genuine spirit and love of the place that, you know, manifests itself in so many different ways. And we have very high expectations for our students to engage in the world in meaningful ways, to recognize the dignity of other people, and to really live principled, purposeful lives. And that's I think, what you see when you have a full community like St. Ben's and St. John's driving together toward those kinds of outcomes. This is the kind of spirit and the charism of the place.
Well, I got to ask you before you go, because I know you have got to get ready. You got folks waiting on you, the big homecoming game. In case you all missed it, I am talking to Dr. Brian Brees. He is the president of the College of St. Benedict and St. John's University on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And it is homecoming. They are taking on the Concordia Cobbers this afternoon. And me and my entire family are here on this beautiful campus. But Dr. Brian, we got to talk honestly and openly right now, because the world that we graduated from college in is not the world that we are graduating our children from college in. How mm-hmm. do you prepare these students? They come to St. Benedict and St. John's, and you all build them up, and you know, there's such a community of commitment, and you know, you all are teaching them to be courageous and also to have character. And they're going out into this world, and it is evil, and it is vicious, and it is mean, and it is hateful. How do you prepare these kids to be their best selves when they are going out into this world that doesn't have a Jim Platton, you know, patting them on the back, and doesn't have a Dr. Brian and Dr. Brian's wife, you know, telling mm-hmm. them that they can be everything that they want to be and encouraging them, that doesn't have mentors like the entrepreneurial program that you have, or alumni who are going to be there to fan their flame so that they could burn brightly and be a light in this world? How do you get them ready for this world that we live in today?
Well, that's a great question. And Chaletta, you just captured the essence and the reason why St. Ben's and St. John's are so important right now in the world, because we live in a very fractured, polarized world with lots of conflict and tension and dissonance. And so we bring students into this experience, this educational experience that has a liberal arts tradition. Some Benedictine values are present. We're asking students to think about the common good and matters much bigger than any one person. And we're asking them to think deeply. We're encouraging them to embrace difference, to engage globally, to serve graciously, and to live courageously. It's these kinds of outcomes that really characterize the experience, but it's what we believe enables these young women and men to flourish. And after all, what we're doing here is helping college students, women and men, discover their full potential and to go out in the world and to live principled, purposeful lives for the very reasons that you articulated. And it can be daunting, but when you're with these faculty and staff that so care for these students and care for their education and well-being, and when you see them go out in the world and actually do the things that we know we aspire for them, it's quite exciting. It's very hopeful, and it's what drives who we are at St. Ben's and St. John's, and it's what gives us great purpose in the world, and it's why Carol, my wife, and I have committed to these two places, and just feel so humbled to be a part of two institutions that are so committed to graduating students that are principled and purposeful and making a difference in the world.
Well, Dr. Brian, give my best to your wife, Carol. I was just telling my best friend, Fanshawn, about this place, and I can't wait for her to come and visit. And you know, we take in another game, or I saw the kids in there swimming, and, you know, I see what you guys are doing in golf. The athletics is amazing, and the campus is beautiful, and your staff and your team have been very kind to our family. Thank you so much for joining me on the Chaletta Show.
Shalita, thanks for having me, and I hope you can meet Carol soon.
I do, too, and I like to eat and drink. So if she likes to eat and drink, we are about to be new best friends.
Let's do it. This is going to be fun. Thanks, Shalita.
All All right, you have a great day. And y'all don't go anywhere. Stick around. We've got more.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
More to come. Carrie, I'm sitting up here trying to tag President Brees on Twitter, and I can't find him, so I'm just going to tag his wife. I know that anytime somebody wanted to reach my husband when I was married, if they couldn't find him, they would come call me. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to tag Dr. Brees's wife, and then, you know, maybe she'll make sure to tag him because I cannot find him on Twitter. I would ask you for help, but here, you ain't got no Twitter.
Nope.
So
nope.
That ain't
can't help you.
Cannot help me. I don't know. Girl, when Twitter goes down, I get to itching. I'm telling you, I don't know how you're doing it. But you know what? It is a time stealer because I notice that everything I do a little bit slower because I'm usually tagging or looking at something or terrorizing poor Rusty in the newsroom on social media. So it is a good thing. You know, if you really want to get your time back, because it will take you, it will take your time away from you. Mm-hmm. I tell you, so you may have something there. But let me tell you about something I found out about. One thing I love doing now that the kids are in school is meeting with folks again. You know, during the pandemic, we were homeschooling and there was very little opportunity for me to leave the house, for me to engage with other people. Everything was done virtually. And now that the kids are back in school, I have a little time during the day to get out and stretch my legs and find out about new programs and folks in the community who are doing amazing things. And so I had to ask Rebecca Slaby, the executive director of Amaze Works in St. Paul, to join me on the show to talk more about Amaze Works, the work that they do, and how they are helping the community. And she is joining us now on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Rebecca, thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show.
Hello, good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I am just excited about Amaze Works. I don't know how you slipped over, above, through, under, or alongside my radar. And I have not been helping or promoting or working or volunteering or donating or something because you all are doing amazing work. Tell me about Amaze Works.
Absolutely. So Amaze Works actually has been around for 26 years. We're actually celebrating our first in-person event on Thursday. We're calling it our 25+1 anniversary because we missed the 25th anniversary because of the pandemic. Our mission is to champion equity and belonging, and our core work is rooted in anti-bias education, which actually comes out of early childhood, but it is about how we get how we can support adults in having regular and intentional conversations with each other, and also with children starting from a very young age, on identity difference and bias. Because research shows that having as few as five explicit conversations with children around race and other differences actually lowers their bias levels, right? So how is it? What are the tools and resources? What's the mindset and the skills that you need to have and cultivate in order to have those really important conversations? And so our core work is has been supporting schools and educators, and we have a variety of different curriculum and resources to support those conversations.
I am loving it. I love everything about it. You know, I was working with a professor at Duke University when my first book, Cameron Goes to School, came out. She found out about it, asked me to send her some copies, and she was using it as a teaching tool for her students. And what they found in some settings was that this was the first time that these kids had actually gotten a hold of a book with a diverse character on it that wasn't a historical figure like a Dr. King or Rosa Parks or Fannie Lou Hamer. This was just a little girl, you know, who looked, you know, had similar experiences as them. She had a brothers, she had a mom and a dad, and she had an experience to share. Talk to me about how can parents who say, I want to raise my child to be more inclusive, I want to make sure that I'm doing everything that I can, because, you know, as a new parent or a young parent, you don't know what you don't know. How is AmazeWorks equipping parents as well as educators to make sure that they are teaching our youngest learners how to be more inclusive?
Well, I think you hit it right on the head when you were talking about picture books and storytelling. And that's how we were actually born. We were born in the Minneapolis public schools because a little girl, Ellie, who was second grade, just had her eighth birthday, and all the students in the class wrote her cards. But because Ellie had two lesbian moms, one of the cards that came home was a little hate message, and it said, I hate you, girl lover. And so the moms, of course, were upset. Ellie, I always find it interesting that 26 years ago, Ellie never saw the card herself. But the moms took the card back to the school and said, what do we do about this? You know, they had been very involved in the school community, and they knew that they would face bias at some point, but they were shocked that it came
from a child.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so the school said, you know, let's turn this into a teachable moment. Let's use picture books and storytelling to expose children to different family structures. In education, we talk about it as windows and mirrors, right? Coming from this idea that how is it that we can have enough mirrors to see ourselves reflected in, you know, curriculum, in the media, in society, in really healthy, affirming ways that just normalize differences, right, and diversity, instead of, as you said, right, it's not just always in the form of like Dr. King or Rosa Parks, mm-hmm, or, mm-hmm. You know, for me, I'm a Korean American adoptee, and I never had any windows or mirrors, you know, I never had any mirrors to see myself like really reflected in the society, aside from like Jackie Chan or, you know, Connie Chung growing up. And so that is such an important way, is to use those picture books to affirm healthy identities, but then also give children a window into the lives and identities of people who are different from them, right? And then normalize being able to talk about those differences, and then the impact of those differences. And the fact is that some different, we live in a hierarchical society, and some differences mm-hmm. are valued, and some are stigmatized and marginalized. And so how do we then talk about the bias? And that's, you know, our primary curriculum uses picture books, and we write lessons mm-hmm. to help both caregivers and educators have those conversations.
Okay, now listen. You're going to have to stick around with me for another break, because one of the things about this show is that people are listening and interacting with me in real time. The conversation does not stop because the guest leaves or because we go to commercial break. Linnea and Tom and Brenda and so many others are chiming in my DMs and also posting on my timeline. And I see that Charlotte just posted on my timeline on Facebook. She is listening. She is in the car. And so, you know, Charlotte is an amazing mom. And like many Minnesota women who are white, they have mixed race children. And yep. So you don't know what you don't know. I know how to have the conversations. I know how to talk to my kids because I was a black woman. So I understand what black women are going to experience and go through. And Charlotte has done an amazing job of educating her child, of surrounding her with so many positive images of African-American women like myself. She's got my books there for her daughter to read. But there are so many others, my girlfriends who are white women who have black babies, who say, I am not equipped. I don't know what to do. I am a white woman. I only know what you told me you experienced it. It's not my lived experience. How can I prepare my daughter for that life? I want you to talk to me when we come back from the break, because we got to take a quick commercial break, about first steps for these moms, these caregivers. You know, they don't have professional development classes, Rebecca. They don't have, handbooks and blueprints for this. And so I want you to talk to me about what AmazeWorks is doing for them. We'll be right back. It is 11:49. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show, sponsored by Otto Bremer Trust. My name is Shaletta Brundage, and I am the host of the show. We're going to continue our conversation with Rebecca Slaby. She is the executive director of AmazeWorks in St. Paul. She is joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. And Rebecca, before the break, we were talking about white women raising mixed race boys and girls, you know, and I've been teaching my son since he was three. Listen, this is what you do. If there are police around, if they tell you to do something, don't talk back. If somebody accuses you of something, even if you didn't do it, you don't respond. You just follow instructions. The police are not your friends. They are here to do a job. You respect them and you follow instructions. If there needs to be, any kind of clarification, if there's a misunderstanding, mommy and daddy will come in and we will fight for you. But you do not fight for yourself. You do not fight back. You do not ask for a badge number. And I remember when our kids were growing up and I had white girlfriends with black babies, you know, they just didn't understand. They thought I was being the paranoid mom. So once George Floyd happened, they called for tips. They call Chiletta. Okay, so that conversation that you were having with Andrew, I understand now. I'm sorry. Listen, what can I say to my child? Because what I explained to them, Rebecca, was that your whiteness is not going to save him. If he is in the car and there's a taillight out or there's a headlight out or he forgets to put on a turn signal or if he has an air freshener hanging from the roof of his car, if they're looking for a kid matching the description and they run up on him, you know, having a white mama is not going to keep him safe. In that moment, he has to know what to do. And that you start that education at home. And you know, it's a steep learning curve if you haven't lived it. Talk to me about, you know, how you are helping caregivers like my friend Charlotte, who has a little black girl who has to grow up in today's society.
Absolutely. Oh, so you went deep. Yeah, the thing is that we all have to continue to do our own work around our own identities. And the thing is that we live in racialized bodies. Mm-hmm. But white-bodied people do not have that awareness of race as such an integral part of their identities. You know, generally, white people do not think that race is in the room unless a person of color is in the room, right? So if you do not have an awareness of how your own racial identity is being experienced out in the world, of course you don't know how your children, your Black and brown multiracial children are going to be experiencing the world from their racialized identities. And so how is it that parents, one, can do their own work and understand what it means to live in a racialized body, both whether you're white-bodied or you're a Black and brown body? You know, what does that mean? And then don't be afraid of having the conversations, right? A lot of parents will often think that, especially of younger children, that, oh, my children are colorblind. They don't see race. And they'll say things like, my child will play with anyone on the playground. Doesn't matter what they look like, what their race is, their ability, or anything like gender, you know. And that is true, but it doesn't mean that young children are colorblind. Or that they don't notice the difference. They just haven't absorbed enough of societal messages at younger ages to act on the value judgments that society will tell them eventually, right? That you're supposed to act one way towards this difference and another way towards this difference. They just haven't ingrained the biases around those differences, but they're still noticing it, right? So by 6 months of age, babies are starting to notice race-based differences. Toddlers as young as 2 years old are starting to use racial categories to help to understand behavior. So the more that you can understand racial identity development in children and do your own work as a parent around how your race shows up in the world, that will help you to not be afraid of the conversations, not be afraid of the questions. There is this, one of my favorite books for talking to young children about race is All the Colors We Are. And it's a really short little children's picture book, although I think they use photographs of real people, but it talks about, right, where does skin color come from? It talks about ancestry and melanin, and it really helps equip parents and educators with starting to talk about skin color differences outside of the categories of race, to get comfortable talking about those differences, and that children will say the darndest things.
Yes, they will.
Yeah, they might comment. They might say things like, you know, her skin is dirty, or, why does my skin color look so different from that child's, you know, or he has brown skin. It's not, you know, it's the color of poop, right? Like, kids will say things like that. It doesn't actually mean that they're racist or that they're making a value judgment. They're putting words to the observations. They learn the values from our reactions.
Right. And that's why it's so important to have these conversations. And I'm so glad, and that's why it was so important to have you on the show today. Rebecca Slaby, the Executive Director of Amaze Works in St. Paul. This has been an eye-opening, thought-provoking, and difficult discussion to have, but if we don't talk about it, who will? You know, the one thing I say on the Shaletta Show is change begins with a conversation. That's how change starts. Change doesn't start because you jump up and start doing something. Change begins when people start talking, and that talk turns into action. And so that's why it's so important that we have these crucial conversations on this show. Actually, the old boss wanted to call it Crucial Conversations with Shaletta, but that was just too many damn consonants. So we just shortened it all and called it the Shaletta Show. And there's more of the Shaletta Show coming up. Y'all stick around. Don't go anywhere. So brand new. We
took the vows of man and wife.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!